Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome everyone back to the post-game broadcast. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network, and I'm coming to you mere moments after UCLA's 27-10 loss to Arizona. Yeah, ugly performance in a lot of ways. Let's start big picture. UCLA has lost the three games to good opponents on the road that they've had. We were talking up Washington State going into that game. They've now lost five straight. They're 4-5 this year. Other than that, Coastal Carolina is winning by the skin of their teeth, but winning. So they'll finish with a winning record more than likely. But it's once again a year where UCLA has beaten some bad teams and is losing to every good team they've played. That's not great. So take that for whatever you want to, but that's not great. It's not a good situation, and I think it reflects that this isn't a great team, isn't a good team, because good teams occasionally win these games, and UCLA has been pretty convincingly beaten in the last two opportunities against Oregon State and Arizona, and then against Utah. If you watched that game, UCLA could have probably been given 15 or 20 drives, and they might still not have scored any points. So not a good situation. Some not-so-great feelings for fans, I think, watching these games right now. All right, so getting into the details of the game, we'll get to the offense, which was obviously the big problem, but I want to start with the defense because I don't want it to get lost in the 27 points and people saying, oh, that's not too bad. This was a really bad defensive performance. Arizona had 8 total drives where they were trying to score points in this game, and they came away with 27 points from those drives. That's over 3 points per drive, which is a pretty good benchmark for yeah, that's a good offensive performance, and it's a bad defensive performance. this was once again a game where UCLA had to play against a team that has the potential to be balanced offensively because they're good at both things. And UCLA's really only had to play two teams this year that do that, Oregon State and Arizona. Now, Arizona, they came in with a heavy predisposition to pass the ball, but that didn't mean they couldn't run. They just elected to pass a little bit more. And a lot of their passes were extension of the run game type stuff. They kind of ditched that in this game. There weren't too many little dumpy screens to Jacob Cowing, which they do a lot, probably 3 or 4. Instead, it was just a lot more of running to the outside. I think recognizing that UCLA has some good speed and some aggression. And so the end result was they ran the ball 35 times. Inclusive of sacks, and there were 3 sacks, so 32 times. And passed the ball, if you count the sacks towards pass attempts, passed the ball 35 times. But that's a pretty balanced output for Arizona. They don't usually do that. But I think they recognize that balance stresses UCLA's defense. UCLA's defense, and I think this is because Danton Lynn's a pretty good coordinator, when they have a way to cheat against you, they will take it, because they're good at scouting their opponents, and they will take advantage of that. But that's only available, really, against one-dimensional offenses. And Arizona and Oregon State before them, and this is the reason those are the two worst defensive performances for UCLA this year, is that those two teams can both run and pass. And, it sounds very simple, but that's really what it comes down to. So Arizona was pretty effective running the ball. They finished with under 4 yards per carry, but just under. And some of that was the sacks and just some weird stuff going on, especially at the end of the game with kneel outs. But Jonah Coleman, Michael Wiley, even DJ Williams, I thought ran the ball pretty well and had some really effective runs at key moments. And Noah Fifita was sharp throwing the ball. You know, some of it was Tetteroa McMillan making some plays. You know, he made some big catches. Tanner McLaughlin made some big catches. But that's built in. I mean, Arizona does that. That's part of their offense is those guys make contested tough catches over the middle on the sidelines. Like, that's not a rarity for them. So you kind of have to build that into the calculation. It's not like, oh, they got lucky. No, that's just their offense. So, you know, it was a poor defensive performance, I thought, for UCLA. And there were some positives. I thought the sacks, I thought the overall pressure was pretty good. I thought they got a lot of TFLs. I think they finished with 11. But there were just some, you know, I'll have to go back and watch, but second string DL, that was an eyesore. Linebacker play was probably the weakest it's been. They struggled on the edges, and then I thought the defensive backs generally tackled poorly, struggled to get off blocks, and a lot of that just like outward directed running attack seemed to cause them fits. But then it was, you know, Fifita and McMillan making plays, and UCLA's corners and safeties just not quite being there. It was a team that I think really took advantage of something we've isolated on, but defensive back play being a continuing issue. You know, Jalen Davies and John Humphrey each had problems in this game. And, you know, a lot of times they were there, but just whatever it was, ball skills, awareness, whatever you want to call it, just not making plays when they needed to be made. But the end result was Arizona averaged almost 6.5 yards per play, over 3 points per drive. That's just not getting it done on the defensive end. Now, here's the thing. Even if UCLA had gotten it done on defense, they probably weren't winning this game. And the reason they probably weren't winning this game is that the offense was doing basically nothing all game. Bruins finished with 4.4 yards per play. There's a weird discussion around Arizona's defense where some people, I think, looking at total stats and various other kind of not advanced metrics are like, oh, you know, they're actually pretty good. And they're not. They're average. It's an average defense. Like, this is just Stanford and Colorado are really bad defenses. This is what UCLA's offense looked like against an average defense, which is what Arizona is. So, just kind of think of it in that context, because Arizona, like, success rates, like, they're middling in basically everything. The one thing they're good at is locking down in the red zone, and they did that, or relatively good at, I should say, and they did that in this game, where it seemed like every time they got in the red zone, UCLA got in the red zone, it was suddenly Keystone Cops routines. I mean, looking at the game, I mean, obviously, Ethan Garbers and Dante Moore both got hurt at the end, but that's not, I mean, the game was pretty much over by the time they already got hurt. You know, Garbers, he did his thing. A lot of checking down, a lot of dumping it off, not really stressing a defense downfield much at all. You know, he had the one really effective touchdown drive with a lot of throws to, I think, TJ Harden. And that was 2-minute drill at the end of the first half, where Arizona was just kind of giving up everything underneath, which was poor defense. I mean, Garbers wasn't really stressing the defense too much, and, Arizona did a nicer job containing him, in the run game, keeping him from being, too much of a factor with his legs. And UCLA, you know, it was once again one of those, like, clever Chip Kelly things where they started the game with a lot of passing. I think they had, at one point, 10 passes to 6 runs at the beginning. And, I mean, just very frankly, that wasn't the way to go against this team. And not really against this team. It wasn't the way to go given the strengths of what you have. You know, this passing game has not been strong this year. And it wasn't strong in this game. And the run game was fine. Fine in the way it's been fine all year. You know, Carson Steele, is he going to break a bunch of explosive runs? No. Is he going to more or less, like, not just average, but get 4 yards per rush, like, literally every time he carries the ball? Probably. There's an alternate universe where UCLA embraces being, like, 2009 Stanford on offense, and this works out a little bit differently. But instead, You got Chip Kelly doing some weird stuff, trying to turn him into a downfield passing attack or whatever. Who knows what they're really trying to do. And the end result is they're losing games that, you know, ball control offense scores 21 points in this game. Maybe takes a little bit of pressure off the defense. I don't know. Maybe that team wins. Anyway, Colin Schley did some nice work when he came in running the ball. And at the end of the game, that was, you know, a little bit of excitement on his drive was that he was able to kind of generate some big yardage on the ground. He struggled to throw it, putting it kindly. He was 0-for-5. None of the ball is super accurate. Offensively, it comes down to, I mean, they're playing. So Kyle Ford wasn't available. They've taken a receiver core that seemingly had a bunch of talent, and they're targeting some other guys. So I don't know. It's a weird little puzzle to unlock what's going on with UCLA offensively. If you want to be kind, you would say they produced four drives that could have ended in scores, two field goal attempts that were missed, and then the field goal made and the touchdown. In a just and kind world where UCLA's kicking game was good, maybe they finished with 16 points, but 16 points in what were nine real drives is also not good, and 10 points in nine drives is a disaster. In special teams, UCLA blocked a punt in this game. Helfrich, I think, made the point on the broadcast in between, I think, falling asleep while I was listening to him. I heard him say this, where it's rare for a team to turn it over and to have to lose the turnover battle and to have a special teams disaster play and come away with a win. And this wasn't just a win. It was a 17-point win. UCLA, I want to see. Yeah, they won the field position battle by 4 yards. Their drive started on an average of their own 34 versus an own 30-yard line for Arizona. Like, Arizona had to do a lot of full-field drives to score in this game. UCLA had an opportunity starting on the 31 that they drove 8 yards and turned it over on downs. They had another drive start on the 39 that went 15 yards and ended in one of the missed field goal attempts. Got to cash those in. Not to sound like a dumb announcer, but you got to cash those in. The field goal attempts, so special teams, they put Blake Glessner in at kicker, and, big surprise, it wasn't a kicker. Their operation has sucked all year. Whatever's going on in their field goal block unit, their field goal protection unit is not very good. Whatever their rules are on edge, it seems like every team is exploiting it, and resulting in either missed kicks or getting in the kicker's head, either in blocked kicks or getting in the kicker's head and rushing the kick. But Glessner missed two in this one. Finally made one from like 29 yards, but I don't think that was a kicker issue so much as a lot of very strange things going on. UCLA scored 10 points against Arizona, lost for the second straight year to the Wildcats, who are now 6-3. UCLA is also 6-3, but these programs are going in different directions. All right. That is it for me. We'll be back again this week previewing ASU, which just got absolutely smoked by Utah. So UCLA should more than likely win that game. All right. Talk to you again this week.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.